a bachelor's degree in French Lit and pursued her career as a journalist for almost a decade before spending her final years in the media industry as part of Compass Gravilla Group Newsteam. Astrid was born and raised in Dumai, a small town in Riau province. Her passion for food brought her to Aceh to learn how to cook proper Acehese food. Also, to study about the spices used in the staple Acehese kitchen before opening Ayam Tangkap Aceh, Trayuk, in South Jakarta around 9 years ago. Astrid is heavily involved in Aku Cinta Makanan Indonesia, or it's also called ACMI, an Indonesian culinary enthusiast movement, and is busy promoting Indonesian cuisine by doing various culinary diplomacy programs both throughout Indonesia and abroad. Astrid is also a caterer and has successfully provided her services in big events such as Pekan Olahraga Nasional in Papua in 2021 and Jakarta's Asian Games in 2018. Without further ado, please welcome Mbak Astrid.
Selamat sore semuanya. Selamat sore, selamat datang di Pericles. Mungkin saya membuka dulu dalam bahasa Indonesia before conducting our talk in probably English and bahasa Indonesia campur-campur. It is a pleasure for me to be moderating this book talk because I always have a passion for books since a very young age. So I get to know your two books, and let me introduce a little bit about Mbak Pat. Jadi,
can I call you Mbak Pat? You can just call me
Pat. Okay. Pat Tanubi Harjo is a food writer, specializes in Asian cuisine and culture. She was born in Indonesia, but spent her life living in Singapore, UK, and now in the US. She is an accomplished food writer, so I'm very excited about our book talk. So, when I first got your copy of your books, actually it was, I asked my 13-year-old nephew to come read with me, to go through these two books with me. You know what he said? He said, I think there's something in these books for everyone. You can be a Japanese, you can be a Sundanese, you can live in, I don't know, Padang. There's something in here for everyone. So, I guess kudos for you, so congrats on your books. And so first of all, what can you tell me about yourself, about your childhood?
Yeah, sure. So welcome everybody. I'm so happy to see all these smiling faces here in the store. And hi to everybody on Instagram Live. Hello. So a little bit about myself. I was actually born in Jakarta. Both my parents are from Indonesia. My dad was born in Cirebon. He grew up in Bandung. And my mother was born in Bandung, but she grew up in Jakarta. So my after my parents got married, they actually moved to Singapore. So when my mom gave birth to me in Jakarta, she brought me back to Singapore around the age of 2 months. So basically, I grew up in Singapore, but then I went to the US to go to college. And I met my husband, and so I've been living there for like, I don't know, over 20 years today. So, I owe it all to my mom. That she was very good about teaching my siblings and I have an older brother and a younger sister, and they're also both in the US. But my mom was very good about cooking Indonesian food for us at home and also teaching us the language. Unfortunately, I don't speak Bahasa Indonesia very fluently anymore. Tapi masih bisa bahasa. The Singaporean in me is coming up. I actually spoke Indonesian fluently until the age of 5 or 6, until I went to kindergarten. And because everything in Singapore is taught in English, so I just started speaking English. And even though my parents still tried to speak to us in Indonesian, I would always respond in English. So yeah, but she did make it a point to teach us our culture and to cook Indonesian food at home. And it's because of her that I have a love of food and cooking. And it's because of her that I know as much as I do about Indonesian cuisine.
Okay, so what is food? Mean to you as a child growing up?
You know, as a little girl, I don't think I appreciated my culture and my food as much as I do now. And I'm sure many of you can relate to that. You know, when you're a child, you just want to eat what you want to eat, right? You know, so things like sayur lodeh, even gado-gado, I never used to like those foods growing up. I think maybe I like ayam goreng kamasan, which I still do. Lumpia goreng, which I still do. Bakmi, ayam jamur. So, you know, typical foods that kids love to eat, I love to eat as a child. But as I've grown older, I've begun to appreciate the more sophisticated Indonesian recipes, I guess you could call that. Like things like, you know, gado-gado, rendang daging, gudeg. So those were the foods that I never really liked growing up, but I love them now. And I actually am working on an Indonesian cookbook right now, which is why I'm in Indonesia right now, to do some research. And I've learned how to cook some of these dishes, and I've met a lot of people who make these foods on an everyday basis. And it's been a wonderful learning experience, and it's definitely connected me to my culture. Even though we were always immersed in Indonesian culture growing up, I think it's still different from if I had lived here in Indonesia. So food was definitely a way to connect me to my roots and to my culture, and I definitely owe it all to my mother for keeping that connection for us and keeping us connected to our roots.
Yay to our moms!
Yes, yay to our mothers!
Okay, but first, how did you become a food writer to begin with?
It's actually a pretty indirect journey. I've always loved to eat, and I grew up in the kitchen with my mom cooking. She would cook almost every day, and I can still remember, you know, being on the floor with her while she was, you know, making all the bumbu bumbu in the ulekan and the cobek. And one of the first things I learned to do was to roll lumpia, and also to tusuk sate, and of course to cook rice. I think that's probably one of the first things you learn as a cook in the kitchen. So I've always been exposed to cooking and food, and I was a pretty chubby child, so I loved to eat. And I also loved to read. You know, according to my mom, I could read from the age of like 4 or 5, but I don't really believe her. That's a little young. But the library was one of my favorite places to be. And I grew up wanting to be a writer, but it seems like when I was growing up, being a writer or somebody who works in the arts is not really considered
a career,
you know. Like, I think most parents want their children to become a doctor or a lawyer or to work in a bank. So it wasn't really, becoming a writer wasn't really a career I considered. So when I went to college, I decided to do communications, and I ended up working in museums and art galleries. And I did that for about 8 or 9 years. I even took a master's degree in arts administration. But I guess the passion and I guess it was kind of like meant to be that I became a writer and a food writer at that. I remember going home one summer from college, and my friend knew somebody who worked for a food newspaper in Singapore, and I got a job writing for them. So I got to interview somebody who sold pisang goreng, and I got to review quite a few restaurants in Singapore, and I really enjoyed it. And you know, the seed was planted in me, and My opportunity finally came when I got married to my husband, and we were actually living in the UK for a couple of years, and I couldn't find a job in my field, in the arts. So I decided, you know, I had a computer, I had an internet connection, and I could easily just write travel and food articles. So that's when it started, and so it was just a matter of the opportunity coming knocking. And when I got back to the US, I continued becoming a freelance writer. So I continued writing for magazines and newspapers and online publications. And you know, one day I just decided I want to write about food and nothing else. and so you know, I actively sought out food writing assignments. And one day, I was interviewing the publisher of a local boutique publishing house in Seattle, and he told me that he's always wanted to publish a cookbook about Asian grandmothers and their stories and recipes. And I got really, really excited when he told me that, and I was like, hey, can I send you a proposal? Because I would love to write that cookbook for you. And so he said yes, and that's exactly what I did, and that's how my first cookbook, the Asian Grandmother's Cookbook, came about. So yeah, it's been a long journey, but I finally got there. So, you know, to those of you who have a passion or a dream that you want to do something, don't lose heart. It may not happen now, but it may happen sometime in the future.
Okay, so how many years has it been that you're becoming a writer?
Let's see, I first started writing freelance in 2003, I think, 2004. So it's been almost 20 years.
Okay, and how's it been? I mean, writing articles is, I think, very different than writing like serious book. How did you manage to, you know, write interesting books?
Well, I mean, articles tend to be a lot shorter, so the amount of research you have to do is not as in-depth. But I think the two are related in a lot of ways, because sometimes, you know, the stories that I write for a publication or a recipe that I develop for a magazine will find its way into one of my cookbooks. So I've actually published several stories and recipes from my mom for online publications, and they will eventually find their way into my Indonesian cookbook. But of course, definitely, you know, my cookbooks have taken from like 1.5 years to, I think the shortest amount of time that I took to write one cookbook was like 4 months, which was very intense.
Stressful?
Yes, it was very stressful and very intense. My husband told me at the end of that project, please don't do this ever again. But that was a pickle cookbook, so it's a book called Asian Pickles at Home. I would not have taken up that assignment if it was, you know, other types of recipes. It was manageable as a pickle cookbook.
So, what's really interesting about conducting research for your cookbook?
Well, it just depends. So I have done 4 different cookbooks, and they've all been so different. With my first cookbook, the Asian Grandmother's Cookbook, I had to interview and cook. I had to interview and cook with a lot of different people, and I really, really enjoyed that process. I never knew my grandmothers. So my mother's mother passed away before I knew her, and my oma, my dad's mother, lived in Indonesia while I lived in Singapore. So I only saw her once or twice a year, even at that. And then she was also, you know, quite sickly, so I didn't have that relationship with her that many of my other friends had. So I was always envious and jealous of that. So when I got the opportunity to write the Asian Grandmother's Cookbook, I was really, really excited because I connected with so many different, you know, mothers and aunts and grandmothers who who taught me their culinary wisdom and showed me their tips and tricks in the kitchen. And I spent quite a lot of time with one of my friend's mothers, and my friend told me, I think you know my mom better than I do.
In a way, yes.
Yeah, because you know she told me her life story, she taught me all her favorite recipes in the kitchen. So there was that one experience. And for Farm to Table Asian Secrets, I like to say that I wrote that cookbook for myself because I really love eating vegetables. Even though I'm not a vegetarian, I do eat meat, so I'm an omnivore, but I love vegetables. And I also used to be a manager at a farmer's market in California. So while I was working there, I got to know the farmers who grew the food, who sold the food. And you know, it was just wonderful getting to know the people who were so connected to the earth and to know where my food comes from. Because a lot of times you buy your vegetables at the supermarket and they're all nicely cleaned and packaged, and you have no idea where they came from. You know, you don't know the farmer who grew the food. You don't know what they put into the food, you know, whether they use pesticides or fertilizers. So that was also a very interesting experience for me to get to know the people who grow my food. And they always had such fun stories to tell me, and lots of recipe tips as well.
Yeah, because food is not only what you see on the table, right? There's cultures, there's life stories, there's probably tears and laughter and everything.
Yes, 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 blood, sweat and tears that goes into, you know, growing your food.
So your research must be very heartwarming in a way.
Yes, yes, definitely. I tend to choose topics that I truly believe in and that I connect to. So in that way, yes, I think that my research is definitely heartwarming, and you know, it enriches my life for sure.
Okay. So what Indonesian food or Asian food did you eat growing up? What's the food that are closest to your heart?
Do you have all afternoon to listen to me?
Yes.
So some of my favorite foods that my mom made growing up, my tradition. So ayam bakar, ayam panggang. Sorry. Ayam panggang, ayam goreng kawasan, bakmi, bihun goreng, soto ayam, soto mie, I also enjoyed a lot of Dutch influenced foods like pisoles, croquette, pastel panggang. It's like one of my favorite dishes ever. I can still remember a time when I invited a friend over for a dinner, and my mom made pastel panggang, and I had told my friend, oh, my mom's making one of my favorite dishes tonight for dinner. And my friend saw the dish and was like, is this Indonesian food? I was like, yes, it's Dutch influenced Indonesian food. So I think that a lot of people outside of Indonesia and Asia don't realize that Indonesia was a Dutch colony for over 300 years, but it's so much a part of our history and our culture. Oh, another favorite. It's more like a Sinilang. It's nastar.
Oh,
I love nastar. I learned to make it for the very first time last year.
Oh, last year.
Yeah. Well, actually, my mom's friend taught me how to make it. She showed me how to make it quite a long time ago. But it looks so complicated that I was like, okay, no. I think I'd rather you tanda you make it for me already, okay? But I actually made it myself, and I developed my own recipe and brought back so many memories. Because every year, during Chinese New Year, my mom would always buy kueh nastar. And sometimes she'd even get it shipped all the way from Indonesia to Singapore.
Oh, yeah, seriously? Hi, Tante. Okay, one of the foods that you mentioned very close to your heart is bakmi. Mm. Do you have any particular memory?
So bami is one of the dishes I've always loved, and my mom makes a version with ground pork, which is I only just learned this story. So my mom took me to Bakmi Abun in Pasar Baru. And I always wondered why she makes bakmi with pork and not with ayam. Because you know, like bakmi Gajah Mada is bakmi ayam, right? So this is what I usually eat when I come to Jakarta. And so she brought me to Bakmi Abun, and I saw, oh, okay, this is, you know, it's made with pork. That's why you make your bakmi with pork. And then she also told me that that's where she and my dad used to go on dates. Mm. And I was like, wow, thank you for bringing me here, Mom. So, so yeah, I really enjoyed that experience, you know. And there have been other places in Indonesia that she's taken me to where, you know, my parents have history. So yeah, that's been a lot of fun. And bakmi has also become very famous among our friends in Singapore. One of my brother's friends, he dubs bakmi ayam or bakmi, mommy's bakmi, bakmi, what does he call it? Baswadi noodles. That's his name for my mom's noodles. So, Baswadi noodles. I have no idea.
Okay.
I have no idea where he came up with that name, but every time he'll come over to the house, he'll be like, so auntie, make me some Baswadi noodles. So, yeah.
Okay, when you meet somebody new, and they learn that you are a cookbook author, and that you're from Indonesia, and specializes in Asian cuisine, what would you say the most frequently asked question about Indonesian or about Asian food or culture?
That is a very good question. You know, I think the people tend to be more interested in the fact that I am a cookbook author because they think it's a very glamorous job. Like, their first question is like, do you get to eat out all the time? Do you meet a lot of celebrities? And I'm like, no. I spend most of my time cooking in the kitchen and writing at my laptop. And you know, unfortunately, Indonesian cuisine is not very well known in the U.S. I would definitely like to see that change. So I don't get very many questions about Indonesian food in particular. I really definitely hope that will change. Actually, you know, people do ask me, so where's a good Indonesian restaurant that we can eat at? So if we're in Seattle, I'll say my mom's house. If we're in Washington, D.C., I'll say, why don't you come over and I'll cook for you? So, because unfortunately, in the Washington, D.C. area, there are no Indonesian restaurants.
So, does anybody you know, ever open an Indonesian restaurant in the U.S.?
Yes, actually my mom and my sister-in-law had an Indonesian restaurant in Seattle called Julia's Indonesian Kitchen. They opened it in 2007, and it was open for about 4 years, and it was doing really, really well, but it was just so much hard work, you know, so they decided to sell it, and everybody was so sad when the restaurant closed. But it's very different in the U.S. as it is compared to here, because you know, labor is expensive and it's hard to find good help. So
okay. So in this Farm to Table Asian Secrets, vegan and vegetarian recipes for every season. I'm not a vegetarian, obviously.
Neither am I.
So, what do you recommend that omnivores like me and other readers do with this vegan and vegetarian cookbook?
Ooh, you know, just because you're not vegetarian doesn't mean that you can't eat your vegetables. So, the goal for this cookbook was actually to make vegetables enjoyable for everybody. And so I actually met a woman at one of my book events who asked me if I was a vegetarian, and I was like, no, I'm not, I eat meat. And she was like, oh, okay, great, I'm gonna buy your cookbook now. she was so thrilled that, you know, because I eat meat, I wrote a vegetable cookbook, that she decided that my recipes were going to be very flavorful. So I thought that was very interesting. But yeah, my husband loves his meat, but whenever I make a recipe from this cookbook, he's happy to eat it. He doesn't miss the meat. But if you do want to add meat to any of the dishes, please feel free to do that. Or, you can take any of these vegetable dishes and use them as a side dish together with rice or noodles. So it's definitely very versatile. You can add what you want, take away what you want. The vegetables are all interchangeable. You can use the same methods and techniques, but with different vegetables depending on the season. So in the US, we have, the four seasons, and every season you can grow a different vegetable. So you won't get like tomatoes all year round. But there are dishes that you can interchange the vegetables depending on what season you're in and what vegetables are available.
Interesting. Let's talk about the instant location pressure cooker meals. So what is it about instant pot in your life in the US that makes you wanna write a book about it?
Well, so the instant pot is an electric pressure cooker, and it is very, very, very popular in the US. Especially among working families and working professionals, because it, unlike its name, Instant Pot, it's not really instant cooking, but it's very simple cooking. It's what I call dump and cook cooking, because you can just put all the ingredients into the pot, seal the lid, and press a button, and within like 30 to 45 minutes, your meal will be ready. So for, if you're a working mom with two young kids, you just put all the ingredients into the pot and you can go take care of other stuff. You can do the laundry, you can read books with your children. So it's very hands-off.
Okay, so how long have you been developing recipes for this cookbook?
So with the Instant Pot cookbook, I took recipes that are favorites, perennial favorites among people, and then I developed an Instant Pot technique for them. So it took me about a year to translate the recipes into recipes that could be used for the Instant Pot. And I think one of the best things about cooking with the Instant Pot is it has allowed me to rethink recipes that I grew up with, because there are certain recipes like rendang or it's called red cooked pork soba maybe in the
Indonesia.
So all these dishes take a really long time to simmer on the stove, and also rendang requires so many different ingredients, and I never wanted to cook them at home because it was just too much work. But ever since discovering the Instant Pot, I realized that it actually doesn't take that much time or effort. So yeah, why not make it? And I'm hoping that other people will discover that as well. That you can't easily make your favorite dishes at home. So with less hassle and less fuss.
So rendang, how much faster in Instant Pot?
It takes, I think, about 45 minutes to 50 minutes in the Instant Pot, but it's more like a kalio, not like rendang. Like, if you like a really dry rendang, then you still have to cook it a bit longer. Because the Instant Pot, it doesn't evaporate, so your dishes will be still kind of wet. So if you wanted it to be really dry, you'd have to cook it a bit longer. To the cardio stage, about 45 minutes to
Okay. Can you tell us about your creative process in writing a cookbook? Which one comes first, like recipe development or the entire concept of the book?
Definitely the concept. I decide what kind of a cookbook that I want to write. And then from there, I will come up with a table of contents in terms of like what I want to talk about in the introduction and also how I want to divide the recipes. So like with Farm to Table Asian Secrets, it was easy because I knew I wanted to divide the recipes up according to the seasons. So that was really simple. With the Instant Pot Asian cookbook, I decided to go with like a more traditional route. Like I divided up the recipes according to whether it's a chicken dish or whether it's you know, beef. So it makes it easier for people to decide what they want to cook because they say like, oh, I have chicken in the fridge. What do I want to make today? So
it's easier to navigate.
Yes, it's easier to navigate. So.
Okay. You told us that your mom is a very good cook.
Excellent cook.
Excellent cook.
Yes.
That she has a recipe book.
Yes, she does. My mom has actually gifted me a whole entire notebook full of her recipes. I think there are like 50 or 60 recipes in there. And they're all handwritten in her beautiful handwriting. And that is going to be the resource for me when I write my Indonesian cookbook. I'll be using all of her recipes. So if look out for my next cookbook.
So how many years have your mom had?
No, she gave it to me, I think, 10 years ago. So I've been trying her recipes for all that time. But I'm not sure how long she's been collecting recipes. How long have you been collecting recipes, Mama?
Long time.
Long time.
A long time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's very interesting because not even people who love to cook, we don't all have our own cookbooks, mm-hmm. or recipe books,
yeah.
or whatever we want to call it, mm-hmm. for ourselves. So, it's very interesting that your mom is well documenting the mm-hmm. recipes, you know, to hand it down.
So, like I said, you know, she's definitely been very good about transferring, you know, Indonesian culture to us as children. She's made it a point to do that, and I think by writing down all her recipes, that's one way of her to show how much she loves us, mm-hmm. and to also pass down her, you know, wisdom through the generations.
Yeah. So what is it that you're trying to convey to your Indonesian readers through your books?
Well, you know, each of my books has been very, very different, but I think my main goal is similar. I really try to write and develop simple recipes that have authentic flavor, but are also easy for people to follow. Whether, you know, you're new to the kitchen or whether you've been cooking for like 15, 20 years, I don't see any point in writing a cookbook that nobody can cook from. So I really hope that people do cook from my cookbooks. So before, you know, my cookbooks go to print, I have recipe testers who will follow my recipes, and they will give me feedback on, you know, what they don't understand or what ingredients they can't find or what measurements are wrong, just to make sure that my recipes are accurate and easy to follow.
Okay. So do you have any family members or friends? Who cook from your cookbooks?
To be honest,
actually,
to be honest, I cook from my cookbooks as well.
Okay.
But yeah, so my nephew, my brother's son, he's 16 years old, and he has all my cookbooks, and he cooks for my cookbooks quite often, and he once in a while he'll like text me and say, hey, tata, how do you do this? What did I do wrong? Or he'd send me like photos of the dishes that he's cooked, and yeah, and he even started a cooking club at school.
Wow, do you get feedbacks on his photos?
Yes, of course I do. And I told him that, you know, when the next time I'm in Seattle, I'll come and I will teach your cooking club members how to cook.
Wow.
And so my son is 12, and you know, in the last couple of years, he's actually started being interested in cooking. And now that he's home alone with his dad, he's actually, before we left, we went through all my cookbooks and we flagged different recipes for him to try. And I've been getting messages, you know, saying, hey mom, we made your Thai basil chicken rice, it turned out really great.
So that mine is better than yours. That's how you're successful, right?
Yes, that is true, that is true. Yes, yes.
Okay. So in this visit, how many days have you been this time?
I've been in Indonesia since May 26th, so what, 3 weeks now?
Okay.
Yeah, it's been quite a while.
So how many cities so far?
So we landed in Bali first, and then after Bali we came to Jakarta, and then we went to Bandung, we went to Jogja, we went to Semarang, Tegal, and Brebes. So, and now we're back in Jakarta. It's been quite the journey.
Any interesting experience?
Yes, lots of interesting experiences. So when we were in Bali, I went to the northern part of the island near Lopina to learn about how gula aren is made. So, and that was really fascinating. I've always had gula aren, you know, in food, or gula jawa. My mom cooks with it a lot, but I had absolutely no idea how it was made. So that was interesting, and I learned to cook with a famous chef, Chef Yudi, in Desa Les. So I guess he was a famous chef before he had to return to his village to become a priest. So I spent the morning cooking with him, and that was an amazing experience. I knew nothing about Balinese cuisine until then. And so in Central Java, I learned how kecap manis is made, and that was also very fascinating. Kecap manis is one of my dad's favorite condiments. We call it opa sauce because
puts it in everything.
Because he puts it on everything, including spaghetti. So all the grandchildren decided it was opa sauce. And I also learned how to bake kerupuk telur asin in Brebes, which was really fascinating. I had never ever heard of kerupuk telur asin. So just meeting people along the way. I met with Chef Dewi in Jogja, and she owns a plant-based restaurant. Little Garden, and she taught me how to make gudeg and rendang jamur. So I guess you can rendang anything. Yeah. So not just meat, and that was very fascinating. And she also makes terasi from kacang tolo. So it's like a vegan terasi, which is fascinating. So it's been an amazing journey. I wish I could stay longer, but I guess I do have to go home eventually.
So how many days do you have left?
I leave on the 19th, which is on Sunday, so just 4 more days before I have to leave.
So little time, so much to do.
I know, so much to eat.
So much to eat. Okay, one final question before we head to Q&A. Who's your favorite Indonesian cookbook author?
Oh, you know, I am embarrassed to say that I do not know many Indonesian cookbook authors. Is my microphone still working? So I think the most famous Indonesian cookbook author I know is Sri Owen, who's based in the UK, so I know several of her books. And of course, there is William Wongso, who's in the
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Bukanti. Also, some
good
book authors.
I'll have to get their books. The one cookbook that I learned to cook from is called Masakan Indonesia. It's a green book published by Gramedia. It seems like it's like everybody's go-to cookbook. It's been around for over 20 years. So so I refer to that cookbook a lot. So I have my mom's version, which is like older and dog-eared and full of notes, and I have my newer version, which is nice and clean. But if anybody has any suggestions for, you know, Indonesian cookbook authors that I should know and should buy their books, please let me know.
Okay, so then we'll go to Q&A right now. Anybody with questions?
or question?
Okay.
I like to read cookbooks and every Chinese book. But I have an experience about the instant. Hello, my name is Theresia. Pictures we are made with a stone wall from my life. And I have an experience with the instant pot, which is a test that meat it doesn't taste good if we cook with a normal pot, with a traditional pot. Because it takes longer time, but the taste is like it's more flavor in the meat.
Yes.
See, all the flavors, all the spices is in the meat. Mm-hmm. But if we cook it instantly and faster, like I bought the crystal set cooking pressure utensil, cooking utensil. But when I use it, but I feel that it's faster, but tastes less, and if I can cook it longer time. So what is your suggestion to me?
That's an interesting question. To be honest, there cannot be a comparison, you know, to cooking on the stovetop for hours and hours. But with the instant pot, technically, because you cook at a lower temperature but at a higher pressure, the flavors should infuse into the meat. You may want to try sauteing your meat first.
Yes.
To seal in the flavors. Do you already do that?
I did it.
Yeah, you do that as well. You may want to consider maybe adding some more spices and herbs, because in the instant pot, the water does not evaporate, it just stays in there. Whereas when you cook on the stovetop, the water evaporates and so the flavors get seeped into the meat. So that is just that is a technicality that really just cannot be helped.
So I look at your books. Uh-huh. I love it. I love the pictures and mm-hmm. the colorful. And so pictures I can do it with my normal slow cooker.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I can use it on the stove.
Yes, you
also
can.
Also dumper. So mm-hmm. I bought the one which is can put on the stove first. Mm-hmm. And then after that for a while, then I put on the electric.
Yeah, you can. So you can definitely try that as well. So yeah. Even if you don't have an instant pot, you can also still follow the recipe in terms of the ingredients and the method, but you just have to cook on the stovetop for a longer period of time. That's
I have all that things.
Yeah, so you know, the funny thing is, when I first came to Jakarta, I asked all my cousins and my aunts, it's like, do you know what an instant pot is? And all of them were like, no. So. It seems like the instant pot is actually not very popular here in Indonesia, even though you can get it on Tokopedia. So Signora, I think, is more a local brand that you can find more easily here. So it has all the same functions, and you can use my recipes in the Signora pot as well. So.
Thank you. Any more questions? Or do we have questions from Instagram?
From the Instagram, Pak Pet, but in Indonesia, okay. I will say in English with my limited English.
You can read it in English. If I don't understand, I'll ask.
There is an account who asked about the affordable.
Oh, the
affordable. Jadi gini, jadi pertanyaan seperti ini. Menarik sekali, it is very interesting to know that the emak-emak in millennial era, in this era, can get the cheapest ingredients in wherever she wants to go, right? I think only in the market and farmers, and she mentioned the brand farmers, but actually also in healthy store, toko kesehatan.
Yeah.
It's nice that actually, in my family, I can plan how to cook East Asian food so easily. And the tip is, she asked, alasan, the first time we should know before we choose the ingredients? Ingredients with affordable price, ingredients, or to make the Singaporean, Malaysian, and Filipino cuisine. What is the first we should think about the vegetable and the spice? What we should first know?
You know, I think with any cuisine that you want to cook, the most important thing to do is to buy the best ingredients that you can afford. So if you start with good ingredients, it doesn't matter, you know, where you buy them from. It's really important that you just buy good ingredients. You start with good ingredients, your final dish will come out good. That's my best advice. But did you have any specific questions about like Singaporean or Filipino cuisine?
Maybe she asked about the, what say, santan, coconut milk. Could it be used in these things, Sigiriya, with this santan?
Yes, of course, you can use santan in the
this is a technical question. And the second question is about...
Oh, actually, you know, with santan, I would add it after you finish pressure cooking. Otherwise, santan will curdle. How do you say curdle? Because the pressure is so high.
What is the difference between this Signoria and air fryer?
What's air fryer? Air fryer will create a crispy exterior to your food. It's basically frying food without the oil. With the instant pot or the Signorina, it's pressure cooking, so it's wet cooking, so you cannot expect to have like a crispy crust.
Because the answer like this, if I cannot buy these things first, can I use the receipt here in your book using the air fryer?
No, you can't. But you can cook it on the stove top. Yeah.
Thank you,
Mbak. Thank you, Mbak.
Okay.
This is the pressure cooker. Yeah.
Yes.
This is a pressure cooker related to your book.
Yes. So the Instant Pot Asian pressure cooker meals. All the
Sorry, I haven't read your book
That's
yet.
Okay. But yeah, all the recipes in this cookbook are cooked in an instant pot or a pressure cooker. So,
I have to share that I'm not a big fan of pressure cooker because unless it's only used for the slow cook, because a lot of meat cooked in pressure cooker is damage the texture.
Yes.
So this is a commonly misuse of a pressure cooker. If you cook kikil, it's rather than you use a pressure cooker. I'm avoiding pressure cooker for a lot of reasons. I like to do slow cook, but open. This with the close slow cook, you can do a good rendang. Because rendang you have to open to have an open pot, just to get rid of the moisture and the caramelize on the last stage. If using women say, oh, I can shortcut cooking rendang.
To be honest, there is no good shortcut for cooking
exactly,
rendang.
Exactly, but I agree. I said,
I agree, yeah.
How long? And she said, 2 hours. Forget it. That's not rendang. Rendang minimum 4 hours with a good meat. Longer is depends on the type of beef it used. But whatever I try, because once you do beef with a pressure cooker, it squeezes out all the collagen from the meat. So the meat become stringy, lacking, it will be tender, but like it's getting dry, even it's boiled. So this is a little thing, but I know there's a lot of, they have to learn how to use this properly, what to use with this, what not you use with this. Thank you.
Will, you bring up a very good point. So in the introduction to my cookbook, I say that the Instant Pot is not to be used for cooking everything. Although I do know some people who use it to cook everything, I pull my Instant Pot out maybe once a week at the most, because there are certain things that I just done better on the stovetop. But you know, I have to say that there are some dishes that are excellent in the Instant Pot, like I've steamed fish and my fish turns out very soft and silky. Chawanmushi, which is like a Japanese egg custard, is so delicious. And velvety smooth coming out of the Instant Pot as well. So there are certain dishes that definitely could benefit from cooking in the Instant Pot, and there are other dishes which belong on the stovetop. So oxtail soup is one dish that I think goes really well in the pressure cooker, because oxtail usually takes a really long time to cook and get tender and soft. So that's one meat that I recommend as well.
Yeah, maybe Omura also is trying to say is you have to get to know your
Instant
Pot.
Mm-hmm.
It's like oven, right?
Yes, you have to get to know your
oven. Not every
oven
is the same.
Yes, very true. Yes.
Okay. Any more questions?
Ada dari Instagram lagi atau?
Ada dari Instagram, tapi ini there is one question from the really bookstagram influencer. So I ask my friend here to take this simplicity, this one book from Dominique Laurel. How to spell in Indonesia? Laurel. Nah, di dalam buku ini ayus bahasa antikuan sih in bahasa Indonesia. I'm sorry, bahasa Indonesia. Di dalam buku ini dia membandingkan berarti dari tuturannya pengalamannya Mbak Pat, based on your experience, so we will have two teams for emak-emak right now. The first is emak-emak who think about the tools, about the pot, and the second one is about the ingredients. Dalam buku ini, katanya, dinasehatkan oleh si Dominique Laurel bahwa untuk mencapai jiwa yang sehat, kamu harus memiliki makanan yang sempurna. Dan makanan sempurna itu didasarkan pada pada alat masak yang the best, artinya panci yang sempurna, tepat panci in English is pot. Nah, so the question is which one should we do first is you know based on this book is Japanese philosophy books, memiliki pot yang bagus itu akan membantu kesehatan, karena dengan memiliki pot yang bagus kualitas makanan akan terjaga, bahan-bahan organik akan terjaga, gizi-gizinya. Namun pertanyaannya adalah bagi orang-orang yang belum bisa menggunakan model seperti ini, apakah ada cara lain? Is there any way for people who have only yang punya sedikit waktu for preparation, they have no much time for preparation for cooking for their family, but they want to use the technique to the cook pressure. The pressure cook is another way. Because this thing is like this is the first thing for mama who support the pot.
Well, there is the manual pressure cooker that you can use on the stovetop. So
that I can still remember my mom using, it has a lid, it's a big pot, it has a lid, you put the lid on top and then you screw it on, and then it has this little dial on the top that goes like, it goes crazy, it starts spreading air and water. You can definitely use that pressure cooker on the stovetop, but you cannot recreate the efficiency of the electric pressure cooker with any other pot or pan. So, I mean, unless somebody else comes up with an idea, I really have no alternative to the electric pressure cooker. So, but I mean, I do have tips for, you know, being a busy mom or working person to get food on the table real quick. And I think one of the best ways to do that is to plan your meals. I know meal planning is very popular among my friends and I. So you spend a weekend, just you choose 5 recipes for each day of the week that you want to make, and make sure that you have overlap. So like you could have roast chicken on one day, and then the next day you could have chicken soup using leftover chickens and the bones from the chicken to make the stock. And then you know the next day you could have, tortillas with the chicken meat.
Nasi goreng
is a wonderful leftover recipe. So yeah, there's so many other tips and tricks that you can use. And I always tell people that there's no shame in buying already prepared foods. I don't know whether here in Indonesia you have like vegetables already cut for you at the supermarket, things like that.
Yes.
Yeah? So actually, you know, yeah, the other day I went to the Pasar Rumput and there was somebody selling vegetables packaged together. One was like sayur asam, and another one was sayur lodeh. And I was like, wow, that's a great idea, you know? And that's something that I have not seen in the US.
Yes, we are busy nation.
Yeah, so you know, there are definitely other tips and tricks. So.
Semoga itu menjawab ya.
Dibalas lagi.
Oh, dibalas. Okay. Biar Tuhan yang balas, Mas.
Because the she who asked the question, uh-huh. She believed that how to live more with less.
Yes.
So
yes.
She quotes the sentence I said, choose the best possible basic equipment, keep your kitchen spotlessly clean and unleash your imagination. It cocok lah. It fits with your idea in cooking experience. Using the basic event with keep your kitchen spotlessly, karena because she imagine that using this señorita, señora, will help her to keep the kitchen still clean.
Well, it's true. I mean, it is definitely one pot cooking, so you have less dishes to wash, and that's a benefit for a lot of people. But if you can cook well and you know how to cook or what ingredients to use, it doesn't really matter what pot or machine you have at home. A lot of people have asked me, you know, do I need a wok to cook Asian food? Do I need a wok to stir fry? I'm like, no, you don't. Just use whatever pot you have at home that does the job for you. Because yeah, it's no point buying a specific piece of machinery or a pot just to make one dish. Right. So just make use of what you have, and I totally agree with the, you know, the Instagram poster that it definitely try to live your life with less and try and live a simpler life. That's definitely the way that I try to go too. But as a cookbook author, I tend to have way too many kitchen equipment in my kitchen.
You have to.
This is my job.
Okay. Gimana Mas? Cukup menjawab?
Sudah, ini kebetulan yang bertanya seorang pecinta buku.
Okay.
Jadi pertanyaannya eksploratif.
Mulik ya. Okay, terima kasih Mas Regi. Ada pertanyaan lain? Okay. Tante Julia, boleh? Aku mau tanya pendapat Tante Julia sebagai ibu dari Pet tentang her cookbooks. What do you think about her cookbooks?
Sudah baca belum itu ya? Sebelum diterbitkan
ya nanti. Oh ya, privilege.
Advisor.
Ya.
Selama ini saya selalu memberikan encouragement untuk dia
menulis gitu, tapi saya selalu mengatakan tulis tetapi kamu harus bisa menulis, coba dulu sebelum ditulis supaya jangan sampai salah atau sampai semua itu dengan ukuran yang baik. Apalagi waktu dia menulis buku yang pertama, Grandmother Cookbook itu kan dia kunjungin satu persatu daripada ibu-ibu di Seattle itu, satu persatu dia coba masak bersama. Dia tahu sendiri kalau orang tua kan kalau masak kan main comot tadi apa, semua nggak pakai ukuran. Jadi dia itu benar-benar memakan waktu beberapa tahun mencoba semua makanan kembali, mencoba dengan ukuran yang tepat. Itu cuma saya sarankan kepada dia untuk selalu hati-hati dalam memberikan resep-resep karena itu akan dicoba oleh orang lain. Ya ternyata selalu selama ini berhasil, apalagi dengan buku yang terakhir ini dia menjadi bestseller juga di sana. Karena memang orang-orang Amerika kan waktunya sedikit dan dengan resep ini praktis untuk dicoba.
Aku mau tanya, seberapa sering Pat masak untuk tante? Gak usah nyontek tante.
Iya, tapi kalau saya
seberapa sering tante?
Kalau saya ke DC, ya dia yang masak.
Oke, okay. Tante ada request atau terserah Pat aja?
Terserah. Ya, coba
terserah asal sendiri. Enak ya.
Dia bisa masak segala resep karena dia coba banyak sekali resep.
Oke, okay. Tapi resep Pat-nya apa yang menurut tante paling mantep?
Paling mantep. Dia senang masak yang gampang.
Apa tuh tante? Yang menurut tante paling enak, yang tante kalau tante mau request tuh pasti request-nya itu.
Apa ya?
Lasagna.
Iya.
You know, when I cook for my parents, I tend to cook Western food because my Indonesian or my Asian cooking is no comparison to my mom's. So I'd rather leave it there.
Yeah. Okay. Tapi, do you recreate your mom's recipe and then ask her to taste and see her feedback? Because I do that too with my mom. I recreate the recipe.
No, I haven't actually. But I think with the current cookbook that I'm researching, I will. But because in the past, I've never really cooked Indonesian recipes for my mom because when she's around, she's the one who's the master of the kitchen. So it's like I don't dare.
So your job is to eat.
Yes. But yeah, I will let you know.
Okay. Looking forward to it. Ada pertanyaan lagi?
Just some questions. Do you get the feedback? I mean, expect the feedback from your audience or your reader?
Yes, definitely.
If I want to try your recipe and then give some feedback.
Oh yeah, of course, yeah. So I definitely appreciate feedback, and I have appreciated both good and bad feedback. So, and yeah, and very often, you know, sometimes there are errors in printing in the cookbook. So, and if that happens, and if any of my readers have feedback for me, I'm very happy to hear it because I'm of the mindset that I always want to improve. I always want to improve, you know, my cookbooks, and I write for my audience because without my readers, nobody would buy my books, and I would not be writing for them.
Do you have your readers suggesting topics or titles or anything? For your next project?
I don't actively request, but I'm always open to suggestions and feedback.
Do you maintain a blog? Like a
yes,
website?
I do. So I do have a website. It's called ediblewords.com. And my blog is actually in partnership with the Smithsonian Association. And so if you Google pickles and tea, you will find me.
Interesting. Ada lagi? I want to ask you something. if you were to, is there any recipe, Asian or Indonesian recipe, that you are yet to unlock? I mean, Indonesian food has lots of ingredients. Sometimes we don't really have the time or the energy, because sometimes at first attempt we don't always nail it. We have to, you know, trials. Is there any recipes that you have?
I definitely have not perfected my rendang. That's for sure.
So, we have the master right here.
Yes. I definitely, you know, need to practice that a whole lot more. But in terms of, you know, a particular recipe, I would say it's more like particular regions, because most of the Indonesian food that I'm familiar with, you know, tends to be from my mom, so it's like, you know, maybe Sundanese or Javanese. But when it comes to other parts of Indonesia, I'm so unfamiliar. Even learning Balinese cuisine, it was a totally new experience for me, because I had no idea what went into Balinese food. Mm-hmm. So what more, you know, like, from Aceh, you know, how you did all your research. So there's just, you know, so much more of Indonesian cuisine that I would like to discover.
So there are many parts of Indonesia, right? So if you have to choose one particular part of Indonesia to have an in-depth research,
I have to be honest, and I have to say that I haven't done my research, so I couldn't tell you which part of Indonesia I would like to. I mean, right now I'm focusing on, you know, the cuisine that I grew up with, so that's where all my research has been focusing on. But maybe you can convince me that Chinese food is the next place.
Yes.
I should go.
Yes. Of course. I mean, Chinese is very interesting, because it has lots of spices, and it's very sometimes complicated. Mm-hmm. But because it has many spices, I think it's an interesting film. Mm-hmm. That you can play around with.
Is it spicy though? I can't taste the taste.
No, you can adjust your spiciness level to your liking. So it doesn't have to always nail it. We have to, you know, trials. Is there any recipes that you have?
I definitely have not perfected my rendang, that's for sure.
So, you have the master right here.
Yes. I definitely, you know, need to practice that a whole lot more. But in terms of, you know, a particular recipe, I would say it's more like particular regions, because most of the Indonesian food that I'm familiar with, it tends to be from my mom, so it's like, you know, maybe Sundanese or Javanese. But when it comes to other parts of Indonesia, I'm so unfamiliar. Even learning Balinese cuisine, it was a totally new experience for me, because I had no idea what went into Balinese food. So what more, you know, like food from Aceh, like, you know, how you did all your research. So there's just, you know, so much more of Indonesian cuisine that I would like to discover.
So there are many parts of Indonesia, right? So if you have to choose one particular part of Indonesia to have an in-depth research,
I have to be honest, and I have to say that I haven't done my research, so I couldn't tell you which part of Indonesia I would like to. I mean, right now I'm focusing on, you know, the cuisine that I grew up with, so that's where all my research has been focusing on. But maybe you can convince me that Chinese food is the next place.
Yes.
I should go.
Yes. Of course. I mean, Chinese is very interesting, because it has lots of spices, and it's very sometimes complicated. But because it has many spices, I think it's an interesting film. Mm-hmm. That you can play around with.
Is it spicy though? I can't taste it for this.
No, you can adjust your spiciness level to your liking. So it doesn't have to be spicy, but it will be, you know, tangy and bold and flavorful. Yes. Okay, any more questions? Adik-adik? Pernah dimasakin gak nih?
Pernah dimasakin
gak nih sama tante?
Belum.
belum sempat ya.
Belum sempat. Okay. Saya ada berapa hari lagi? 4 hari. So you're going to spend the final 4 days in Jakarta?
Yes.
What are you planning to do in those 4 days?
Just visiting with family and friends, basically. That's my main goal.
Okay. So your next book is. When?
So my Indonesian cookbook is scheduled to be published in 2024. So 2 more years, a lot more research and writing to be done before it's published.
Okay, how hard is it to develop a recipe?
It depends on the recipe and it depends on how familiar I am with the recipe and the flavors. So usually I will go through at least, you know, 3 or 4 tries and I will give it out to different people to try and ask them what they think, whether it needs a certain, the addition of like more of a certain spice or less of something else. So it just depends on the recipe. They can range from very difficult to quite simple. So
So what's your favorite spice to use in Indonesia?
At the moment, coriander, ketumbar, is my favorite spice. At the moment.
To use in what?
In soto. I like it in my soto. And sometimes I just make like a simple chicken marinade with kacang manis and ketumbar. So I know, totally not authentic, but it's simple, you know. Sometimes I like to add it to my sate ayam as well.
Oh, yeah, I think it's
very good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I've actually made some spare ribs with ketchup manis and ketumbar as well, and some sour anise and kayu manis and cinnamon. So, yeah. Lots of different ways to use it.
Okay, so you have a final remarks for your Indonesian New Year's Eve?
I would like to encourage everybody to try and cook from not just my cookbook, but from any cookbook that you can find out there that you have in your cookbook library, because I think there's no comparison to cooking at home. Going out to eat can be enjoyable, but staying at home, cooking with your family, eating together as a family is definitely one of the joys of life. So I would like to encourage everybody to, you know, pick up a cookbook and just cook at home and enjoy your time together with close friends and family. And I hope you do try some of my recipes, even if you don't have my cookbook. You can find a lot of my recipes online on my blog and on Instagram as well. So I would appreciate your feedback. Constructive criticism is very welcome. I wish you all good luck and happy cooking.
Thank you very much.
Last question.
Bahasa Jawa ya, Mas?
Iya. Akhirnya ada pertanyaan dari bapak-bapak. Bapak-bapak. Okay. His name is Surya. Unfortunately, my wife doesn't like to cook. But fortunately, I love cooking. Surya is having 1 daughter. This book so inspired for us as a young parents, and both of us work and do not have much time to prepare meal. But Pat, do you have any books for me especially that you suggest that we should have as a compliment to make this hot dish? From Surya.
I'm sorry, could you repeat the last part of the question?
Do you have any books that you suggest that we should have as a complement to make this pot? This is another book to...
For the instant?
Yes.
I don't know specific titles, but I mean, there are lots of instant pot cookbooks if that's what you're looking for. But you know, to be honest, if you know the techniques of how to use the instant pot, you can mix and match all the ingredients. So you know, you can take a regular recipe from that you find online or in any of your cookbooks, and you can just experiment with the instant pot to see, you know, what level of cooking is required and how long you should cook it. So I mean, you don't really need to buy a lot of instant pot cookbooks, all you need to do is to familiarize yourself with your machine and to familiarize yourself with the technique, and you can convert any recipe into an instant pot recipe.
Thank you. Sam.
Okay, everyone give a round of applause for our speaker. Thank you.
Hi, thank you,
Cassie. Good evening. Thank you for the very lovely Amma experience today. And for the information, Pat had written 4 cookbooks with so many recipes inside these books. The first one is the Asian Grandmother's Cookbook, Home Cooking from Asian American Kitchens. The second one is Farm to Table Asian Secrets, Vegan and Vegetarian Full Flavored Recipes for Every Season. The third one is Instant Pot Asian Pressure Cooker Meals, the one we were talking about today. And the fourth one is Asian Pickles at Home, 75 Easy Recipes for Quick, Fermented, and Canned Pickles. Our website is edibleboards.com in association with smithsonianapa.org. You can find her there as well. And here in Periplus, you can find 2 of Pat's cookbooks, Farm to Table Asian Secrets and Instant Pot Asian Pressure Cooker Meals, and take Pat's home cooking to your home. Periplus is giving you special promos from today to this Sunday. The promo is called Joyful June, valid from today until Sunday. We can get various cookbooks and other books, including Pat's cookbooks, with discounts up to 90% off. And I would love to quote a little from our discussion today. We can learn that about how our mothers, especially Pat's mothers, took her influence on our cooking is very common, as how Pat got her cooking style influenced by her mom. And also, one of my favorite notes from Pat is that we should pursue our dreams. It may not come true today, but someday it will. So we could end the IG live right now. Thank you, our paraplegian on Instagram. I'm sorry, I'm so nervous. Thank you for staying here with us. Thank you, Maske. Thank you, Pat. Thank you, everyone, and have a wonderful afternoon.
Langsung saja ngeklik di sini. Prosesnya cepat, tak ingkar janji. Bila perlu buku bermutu, Periplus siap membantu. Periplus ada untukmu. Periplus siap membantu. Periplus ada untukmu.